good morning. Nice that you're here. Nice that you're watching online. Let us start with a prayer. Thank you, Father, for being here. Thank you for your beautiful presence. Thank you for just being so amazing, God. And we love you, and we invite you to come here and just fill our hearts, fill this place, and just speak to us just where we are. I thank you, Lord, that every distraction, everything that's trying to distract us from you or from your purpose for our lives, I ask that you would just take it away, Lord, that we would just have a focus right on you this morning. And I pray that you would guide my words, Lord, and not what I want to be heard, but what your heart wants to be heard and what your heart wants to be said. I ask that you just come and take this place, Lord, and just let your heart be shared. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So today I want to look at us with a story. Every one of us, well, not everyone, that's a big assumption, but a lot of people probably know it. What some translations call it, the prodigal son. Some call it the loving father. It just depends what kind of translation you're looking at. And before we go into it and read it, I just want to read a short passage. I just want to tell you the story a bit, what happened before we're going to dive in. Luke. So what happened was Jesus told this parable to his disciples, where he said, "Hey, we have this father in the story, the loving father who can also represent God the Father, and we have the son, which sometimes can represent us or somebody who knew God and who went away from God, or someone who doesn't even know God." And what we see is how the father says, "Hey, I have all this wealth, and I'm going to inherit it to my children one day." And the son in this story, what he does is he says, "Hey, you know what? I want my inheritance early. What I want is I want to have all the money and everything that is rightfully mine. I want it already." So the father, loving as he is, gives the inheritance to his child. What does the son do? The son goes off to the world, and he spends it on so much different things. He spends it in ways maybe not what we would consider not to be the wisest. So what happens then? We know what happens. It happens as a famine hits the land, and the son wants to go back home because he lost everything. And now if we look into our lives, how often is it that what we do is, God has given us so many gifts, God has given us so much good stuff for our life, what we use for different things, and we are surprised we're not fulfilled. We are surprised that these things that we have, what God had given us for a purpose, is actually not that the way we use it is not how he had intended it. But we see that when we, as humans, we think along these lines, what we tend to do is we suddenly think that we disqualified us. Because somehow, when we did something wrong, the father doesn't want us anymore. And Jesus wants to illustrate with this story that how the father perceives us, how he sees our lives, how he sees when we mess up. And I want to jump into Luke 15:20, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation this morning. And we're jumping now into the story where the son returns. And just let us read this beautiful passage. "So the young son sent off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar and great compassion swelled up in his heart for his son who was returning home. The father raced out to meet him, swept up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love." Let us read the last sentence again. "The father raced out to meet him, swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love." Well, what we see here is the father's heart. What we see here is how God actually sees us when we come back to him. But what we often do, what we often think is that before we can come to God, we need to make everything right in our life. We need to make us holy again. Best thing is we know all the Bible verses backwards so that we're even holier, and we try to strive for our redemption. We try to strive for the acceptance of Jesus. But we see here The Father is not like that. When we read further on, we know that the Son prepared a speech for his Father. He said, hey, you know, I messed up. I'm not worthy to be your son. Take me as one of your servants. And the Father wouldn't have it. He said, no, definitely not. You're my son. I'm giving you the seal, which was a ring. He gave him a ring. He gave him robe, and he made him a feast because he was so happy that his lost son returned. And I want to speak it over you this morning. Whenever you're discouraged, whether you're hurt or broken, and you feel like you're not in a place where you can come back to God, I want to say, throw these lies away. Do not let hurt or mistakes keep you from connecting to your Father. I want to jump to the next Bible verse in Romans chapter 5. And we're reading Romans chapter 5, 5 2 through 11. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. And now, would anyone dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. And now verse 8, which is basically sums up my whole message this morning. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place. And now listen, while we were still lost and ungodly. So let me ask you, when did God send his son? When did Jesus send his son for you? Did God Father send his son for you? Does it say when you had everything worked out and when you knew all the Bible verses back to front and you knew exactly how to quote scripture and you knew how well you confessed and everything, or did God send his son while you were lost and ungodly? Let us continue, verse 9. And there's still much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, you are now righteous in my sight. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. So if, while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his son, then something greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God and because we share in his resurrection life, how much more will we will be rescued from sin's dominion? And even more than that, we overflow with triumph and joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to God, all because of Jesus Christ. So what we see here is how Paul states some very important facts for our walk with God. It says the mentality of Jesus, the mentality of God was not, I want people who have everything figured out, and with that I'm going to build an holier-than-thou army. What he actually says is, hey, I'll take the broken things of this world and I'll turn them into something beautiful. And that encourages me, because I definitely mess up a lot. And I don't know if you're the same, and you know that what I tend to do is, when I mess up, I feel bad, and I'm still learning in the process of accepting Romans 5, 8, how beautiful God just says, hey, come to me, and saying, hey, like the prodigal son, how he said to the prodigal son, hey, you know what? Even though you messed up, I still want you. And that is something so beautiful, that is something so powerful, that no one can take away from you. You have access to the Father because Jesus paid a high price for you. You have access to God because Jesus paid a price, which means you do not have to pay the price. You do not have to try to make everything right in your life. What you should do is acknowledge where you've made a mistake, repent from that mistake, turn around and come to the Father who is there with open arms. If you come to the Father and start condemning yourself, he's going to say, hey, I don't want to hear that. You're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, and I just want you to come to me and we'll figure everything out. That's something that I'm realizing for my life at the moment, that when I mess up, I can come to the Father And he doesn't want to hear my speech about how unholy I was and all that stuff. He just wants me to accept his love. When we read John 3:16, we see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We see he so loved you. He just didn't love you a tiny little bit. He loved you so much. And that is something that you can remember when you struggle. It's maybe sometimes it's a bit too complicated to remember whole Bible verses, and that's okay. Hey, just remember God so loved you. You are so loved. When you go throughout the day, you feel discouraged or you messed up, instead of saying, oh, Father, I messed up again, I'm such a bad Christian, and you go on ranting about how your mistakes. No, instead, what you can do, and what you should do, is saying, hey, Father, I know I made a mistake, and I repent of this. I want to turn around, and I thank you for your grace, for my life, so that I can turn around, I can leave my failures behind, and I keep running towards your open arms for me. And thank you that you would help me to go engage into this new relationship with you. Instead of focusing on myself, I'm going to focus on you, Jesus. And we're going to see, and you're going to see how your life's going to change when you have this mentality that you're going to come to the Father just as you are. And instead of condemning yourself, receiving God's love for you, not making everything about you and your mistake, but making everything about Jesus and focusing on him and knowing how he has a great plan for you, and he will not be changed in his mentality about you and his perception of you. It doesn't matter what you do, he will still love you. You have the choice to decide how you're going to go on from today on. From today on, you can decide, hey, how am I going to go to the Father? Am I going to see him as a loving Father, like Luke 15 presents him, or going to see him more as a condemning Father, how my feelings say him? But I want to tell you that your feelings do not change the fact that God is good. Your feelings will not determine who God is, but the Bible states and shows how the character of our Father is. So let us read Matthew 9:11 through 12. When those known as the Pharisees saw what was happening, they were indignant and they kept asking Jesus' disciples, why would your master dine with such low lives? He's talking about tax collectors. He's talking about the people. The Pharisees were talking about the tax collectors. Jesus was dining with them. When Jesus overheard this, he spoke up and said, healthy people don't need to see a doctor, but the sick will go for a treatment. Then he added, now you should go and study the meaning of this verse. I want you to show mercy, not just offer me a sacrifice. For I have come to invite the outcasts of society and sinners, not those who think they are already on the right path. I want you to remember that when you go through the day. Jesus said, for I have come to invite the outcasts of societies and sinners, not those who think they are already on the right path. Remember that when you go through the day, let this word encourage you, let the Bible encourage you to see how God perceives you, and that when it happens that you make a mistake, if it happens, know that God's grace is bigger and that the Father has a great mentality for you, towards you. Amen. Father, thank you for being such a loving Father, and thank you that we can engage you in freedom. We can meet you with great anticipation that you will accept us. And I pray that wherever we're standing right now in our lives and we are hindering ourselves to coming to you, Father, I pray that you would just take everything out of our lives that hinders us to come to you freely. And I pray that wherever our hearts has a wrong fault line, thank you, Lord, for exposing it and replacing it with your truth. And I speak this of everyone who's listening today or who's watching, that they would experience your love in a new way. The judgment and self-condemnation will not hinder us to come to you, but a flow of freedom will just come in engaging you, and just a feeling of freedom and love just engaging you in a new way. Amen.